I want to remind us that children of all ages are welcome to remain with us here at MCC Portland. However, if you have a family or children that need a separate time and space, you can retire to our family room and rejoin us later in worship. And a couple of other familiar faces I see. It's always fun to stand up and it's like, oh, look who showed up. And it's I'd invite you to pray with us, please. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight. God, you who are our rock, our strength, our redeemer. Amen. Most, if not all of you, recall that even though I was raised in Pennsylvania, I spent the longest period of my life in California, in Los Angeles, a total of 19 years in Los Angeles, and then 21 years with 2.5 years after that in Berkeley. And in California, you live there with an awareness that earthquakes are things that happen. And you might be in denial about it, but eventually you will be shaken out of your denial, either gently or severely, at some point. So everyone in California has long learned the admonishment to have an earthquake preparedness kit. And those who are very well prepared have a kit at home, they have a kit in the car, and they have a kit at work, because you never know exactly where you might be when the quote-unquote big one hits. Now, I will admit that I was, shall we say, spotty in my earthquake preparedness in California, although I did have episodes where I was better and worse prepared. And we must be well aware that here in Oregon, we are continuing to grow in our awareness that this is also an earthquake region, and we also need to be encouraged to have earthquake preparedness kits of our own. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but some of us may, many of us may not. I will raise my hand and say, I am not fully prepared. I do have a flashlight next to my bed, but that's only going to get me so far. From clearing brush and trees away from property, or controlled burning to curb wildfires, to building storm cellars if you happen to live in Tornado Alley in the Midwestern US, you don't have to be paranoid or a survivalist or someone who thinks the zombie apocalypse is around the corner to get prepared, because disasters do happen. Sometimes you can get out of their way, but for those that you cannot fully predict or that you cannot outrun, it is healthy, it is prudent, it is wise to prepare in advance to ride it out as best as you possibly can. But we also know that not all dire predictions come true. I think all of us in this room are old enough to remember Y2K. Let me remind you if you forget. The predictions that at the turn of the millennium from 1999 to 2000, on New Year's Day of 2000, the worst case scenarios predicted, because computers apparently were not prepared to make the change to a new millennium. There were predictions that planes would fall out of the sky, that public utility grids would shut down entirely, the internet would collapse. Now, I am not a naturally anxious person, but several days before January 1st, 2000, I do remember that I went to the ATM and got a little extra cash out, but I especially remember filling in my bathtub, filling the 10-gallon jug of water that I had in camping gear. So I filled it up just to have water on hand, just in case. And as we all recall, It was barely a blip on the screen. So those 10 gallons of water were used to water plants over the course of several weeks. Now, to plan for inevitable, natural, or perhaps even human-created occurrences that may have disastrous impacts, which may or may not come to pass, it's important and it is wise. To not do so is naive. It's good stewardship of life and resources to prepare. And yet, if we hear the prophetic words of Jeremiah, it appears that God is planning for something quite different. God is planning for something quite different. Jeremiah is probably a prophet's name well known to most, if not all of us, a prominent biblical prophet, not only because the book of Jeremiah is the second longest in the Bible and it bears his name, but the events to which the prophet speaks in that book are across a pivotal period in the life of ancient Israel that completely changed their identity and the trajectory of who they were as ancient Jewish persons. About 600 years before the time of Jesus, this prophet, Jeremiah, lives and comments on a period of time that defined ancient Israel. It began with the social and religious reforms of a really good king, Josiah, who was on the throne after a period of very bad kings, according to the biblical story. And then Jeremiah prophesies and actually witnesses firsthand one of the most crushing events that happened in the history of ancient Israel, and that was the conquering of Jerusalem and the south by the Babylonian Empire and the taking away of many of the Jews into exile, and witnessed the destruction of the sacred temple in Jerusalem. Jeremiah was there before, during, and after. He saw it all. And he was one who was left behind. And Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet because of what it is he experienced. And in Jeremiah, you will find many harsh words of judgment. But also, Jeremiah offers this vision and promise of salvation and redemption and even joy. This vision of God who's going to restore Jerusalem. God who's going to return exiles to home. Declarations of God's love and faithfulness. This passage today that we hear is among the most famous in that long book of Jeremiah. It's apparently part of a letter that he wrote to his Jewish sisters and brothers in Babylon. He apparently wrote this letter from Jerusalem, which had fallen to Babylon, where they were in exile. And one of the most famous quotes, which Jeremiah speaks as God's word, are these words we hear today. I know the plans I have for you, plans for peace, not disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Now, in some versions, that phrase is rendered plans for prosperity or plans for welfare or not harm or evil or destruction. The Hebrew word is one well known to us that's used there, shalom, and it contrasts with the Hebrew word ra, which is from a root which means brokenness. So it's important to be reminded that the peace that is promised is not some absence of conflict or absence of disagreement or discomfort, but it's a promise of the presence of something else, the presence of well-being and wholeness and flourishing, the shalom, which is present. And it's a prophecy that reminds us of what we should always recall, that from beginning to end, God's plan always was, is now, and always will be, past, present, and future, wholeness and not brokenness. That is the future that God is always planning. Oddly enough, it seems, just before this promise. The prophet advises them, plant vineyards, get married, have children. We heard at the beginning of this, pray for the city that you find yourself in. While they are exiles, and the reason is because God knows the plans I have for you. To bring you back, to bring you out. And because of that, they were exhorted to already live a particular way in the present because of the future that God was promising and planning. So it was God's future, not the losses or the traumas or the struggles that were to define how they lived in the present. Now, don't we all know people who always expect the very worst around every corner? I hear a few chuckles of recognition. Now, let us face it, that may be understandable in some people's lives because of hard or traumatic circumstances they have experienced, or maybe it's just because of an innate disposition of their personality. There are people that appear to walk around under their own personal storm cloud or go through life a bit like Eeyore. And if we're honest, who in this room hasn't exactly been that person at least sometimes in their life? Okay? Thank you. Truth is good in church. Sometimes, maybe even some of us, most of the time. Jeremiah had every reason to be one of those people, and it is likely, perhaps, that he was one of those people. He's called the weeping prophet for a very good reason. Maybe that is why that it's only the voice of the Spirit of God speaking prophetically through him and not the voice of his own personality or his own experience. That it's not him, but it is the voice of God that is the one that can deliver hope. It's that kind of hope and future that we from our humanness cannot create and we can barely even imagine. But that is the future God is planning all along. I have a friend who often says that they are the happiest depressed person you will ever meet. The happiest depressed person you will ever meet. Now, I believe that is so, and it's not just because they take their antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications as scheduled. Praise God! That's praise God that they do and that others do as needed. But in this person's case, it's not just that. I believe that's because they are a person of deep and profound and abiding faith. And I would add, I believe they are happy and hopeful, not because of, and certainly not in spite of who they are or what they've experienced. They are that way because it is a gift from the grace of God in their life. And as all things come from God, it comes as a divine gift. And as people of faith, whether we're Eeyore or not, our hope is larger and deeper than any momentary feeling we might have. It doesn't depend upon us deciding to be optimistic or upon the power of positive thinking, as helpful as those things are. It does not depend upon them. It depends upon God. Amen. Thank you. Many of us may be anxious or fearful, always or temporarily or just now, about what the future might hold in your personal life, in the life of MCC Portland, and dare we say, in the life of our nation and our world. and there may be very good cause for anxiety or fear. They are not irrational responses. Global climate change exacerbates fires and flood. World leaders, including the president of this country, use rhetoric and make decisions which undermine the very fabric of the well-being of our world. Our community, we approach leaving this building, which has been the only one we have known for 41 out of 42 years in our history, and we prepare to step into a yet unknown chapter of ministry in a yet to be identified location. I get it. Or maybe you're like a woman I spoke to on the phone on Friday, who just called our church, someone I had never met and has never been here. And she was at her wit's end because of all of the circumstances of her life, from the age of 3, in and out of foster homes, now a young adult, who sees every door close, every person withdraw from her. Was not feeling suicidal, praise God, had been in the past, but feels absolutely trapped by the lack of compassion and care that she knows to be her daily existence, nearly unable to see any difference in the future based upon her past or her present. Pray for her. I told her we would. Pray for her. When I was speaking with her, I was reminded of this old saying, and it is always a good prayer at times like that and times like these. Ours is a God who makes a way out of no way. That may even be a song, Kelly. I'm not sure. Probably. Somebody probably said it. If not, write one. Find one. Yeah. Ours is a God who makes a way out of no way. I believe in and follow that way-making God. What about you? That young woman may not, you may not, I may not see that way clearly yet. But with Jeremiah, this I believe to be true with every fiber of my spirit and being. The voices of doom and gloom are not the voice of God. And we are not planning on some tiresome continuation of the status quo or some final ending, but we are planning on a new beginning, because that is the future that God is always planning. And that's the future that I want to be a part of. What about you? So this is the perennial theological question. After all of the theologizing and the storytelling, the rubber hits the road with this question: how then shall I live? How then shall you live? How then shall we live? How we live and choose in the present. Is it defined by the past, its glories, its failures, its wounds, or its pains? Or is it defined by the future, defined by God's possibilities and promise? Will it be the moments of yesterday or the promise of God's tomorrow that tells us what to do today? Yes, it is wise, it is prudent to plan carefully for the future. Emergency preparedness saves lives. We will plan carefully, but I ask, are we willing to risk boldly? If we choose based upon expectations from the past, maybe we're not ready to risk boldly. We might decide to plan on brokenness, struggle, disaster. But with Jeremiah, we know that that is not what God has planned. For me, for you, for us. So instead, I ask us now and going forward, get with God's plan for peace and wholeness. Plan with God that future with hope. Please pray with me. God, in our humanness and our limitations and our experience, we often don't know and don't anticipate and cannot see a hopeful and flourishing future in so many areas of our lives and in our world. God, we pray that through the gift of your Spirit, the scales might fall from our eyes and that you grant us a sacred glimpse of that future that you are planning for each one of us, for all of us together. May that enliven us in ways beyond our imagining, because it is you who are planning and we who are following. In your holy name we pray. Amen.